WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 4th and Goal podcast, WVUA 90.7, the Capstones podcast for all things college football. I'm Caden Johnson, joined by my co-hosts Braden Friedman and Nicholas Elliott. Now, we know the CFB season is over and some of the attention is off of college football, but we're going to reflect and recap a great bowl season filled with some of the most exciting games we saw all season. First off, guys, how was the break?
It was a long break and an interesting break without being in the college football playoff. As an Alabama fan, it is an expectation every year that we are in it. Sugar Bowl, we'll take it. Most schools would be more than happy to be in the Sugar Bowl. For us, it's like being in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, man, it was a great bowl season. Can't complain. I'm getting to watch football. I miss every single day of the break, but we're on the next year. Got two new coordinators coming in, bright future ahead. So I mean, only up from here.
It is pretty wild, like, to sit and think that, like, we look at like a Sugar Bowl win, or a lot of Alabama fans can look at a Sugar Bowl win as like kind of a
disappointment.
Yeah, just like, well, not really what we were hoping for. Maybe we'll do better than a New Year's Six Bowl next year. It's pretty crazy how spoiled we are.
At least the hammer was laid down on that day.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to, as an Alabama fan, like, you kind of expect bowl games like that when you don't make the playoffs to go either one of two ways. Like, they can either just completely not show up, i.e. like Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma in A.J. McCarron's last game, or they can do like what they did against Michigan State in like 2010, maybe
in Michigan.
Games like that. And that's fortunately what we got against Kansas State. I personally feel like they were a little bit extra fired up, maybe just because of what they saw Kansas State do to TCU and wanted to kind of prove a point, you know, with TCU making it in. And not saying that Alabama deserved to make it in over TCU. TCU definitely did. But staying on the topic of bowl mania, we're gonna start the show by ranking our top five bowl games of the bowl season. I'll go ahead and start. Do you want to go from 5 to 1?
Let's go 5 to 1.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go 5 to 1. All right, I'm gonna start with my personal number five. We have the Liberty Bowl. This is Arkansas 55, Kansas 53 in three overtimes. Jalen Daniels put on a clinic in this game. KJ Jefferson had a really nice game on the ground too. Arkansas like blew a huge lead in this one, I would say.
31-point lead, I believe.
Yeah.
My number five, we're gonna go to El Paso, Texas for the Sun Bowl. A game that with 13-15 seconds left in that range of the game, it looked like UCLA had it won, and Pitt decided to pull together a drive with minimal time left, come back, take the win, walk out of there. It was a great game to watch, and especially those last few minutes of the game just had you on the edge of your seat. Even though it was maybe a meaningless bowl game at the end of the day, it was two teams that had promise and showed promise at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, my number five, I'm going to take it to the Cheez-It Bowl, Florida State 35, Oklahoma 32. That was a back-and-forth game. I mean, it was nice to see two powerhouses that you're normally seeing in New Year's Six Bowls, but you're seeing them in just normal, regular Cheez-It Bowl. But it was a fun game. Dylan Gabriel played good, and Jordan Travis played even better. I mean, everybody's saying Florida State's going to be top 10 next year. I mean, Heisman going to Jordan Travis next year, I guess we'll see, but bright future ahead in Tallahassee.
Yeah, touching on that game a little bit, I was surprised. That was one of the bowl games that I was kind of surprised that those two teams got matched up against each other, you know. Although they're two, like, powerhouses, as you said.
And Oklahoma 6-6. You weren't expecting them.
Yeah, and Oklahoma led for most of that game, too, which was even more impressing. So it was nice for Oklahoma to come out and kind of at least attempt to quiet the crowd that was hating on them. That was that loss gave Oklahoma a losing season, though, which is probably the first time that's happened for Oklahoma in a very long time.
Brent Venables already on the hot seat.
Yeah. He is one of the coaches, like, going into next year. Say Oklahoma drops two of their first, like, five, maybe even six games. Like, he might be out, like, midseason.
Yeah.
That's a team to look out for next year.
Yeah, definitely. Number four, I have the Gator Bowl. This was Notre Dame 45, South Carolina 38. This was a great game. I'm not going to lie. There weren't I didn't watch every bowl game start to finish, but this was one of the ones that I did watch start to finish, and it was a great game. The backup quarterback came in for Notre Dame. He played in the absence of Drew Pine, Tyler Buechner, I think that's how you pronounce it. But he's a great dual threat QB, and he's going to be great for the Freeman era moving forward in Notre Dame. As for South Carolina, Spencer Rattler played really well. He had a couple of highlight throws that look really nice to NFL scouts going into next year. And I think both of these teams actually kind of have a bright future. You know, obviously Alabama picked up Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, but I think, I don't know
Sam
how.
Hartman.
Yeah, exactly. They do get Sam Hartman next year. And I don't know for sure how great of a fit Rees was in Notre Dame. You know, they struggled putting up points against teams like Stanford and Marshall. So I don't really think that Rees had the personnel at Notre Dame to match his scheme, kind of.
Yeah.
For my number four, we're going to go to your number five. I really like the Liberty Bowl. I actually, this is a game that when I saw it on paper, I was not planning on watching. Arkansas, Kansas, two teams that had surprisingly good years. Arkansas maybe even expected to have a little bit better of a year than they ended up being ranked in the top 10 at the beginning of the year. Two teams, triple overtime. I can't tell you how it happened, how they got there. But, I mean, any time a postseason game, two rivals, bordering states, right? Arkansas, Kansas?
Yeah.
I would hope so. And it seemed like a great watch if you watched all four quarters in overtime.
I'll be going over to the CFP semifinal, TCU and Michigan. This is top four. I'd say this was a good game. It was a blowout. What looked like for the first half into the third quarter when the Michigan came back, but TCU, man, ran all over Michigan. But that injury, I mean, one would say that injury, I don't even remember the Michigan running back.
Blake Corr. There you go.
Yeah. That was – you never hate to see that, and you never know what really could have happened if Michigan had him healthy for the playoff.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a hot take, having that semifinal game at number four.
Hey, man, when you get in the three overtimes, that's got to be must-see TV.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, three overtimes is must-see TV, but semifinal games
– there's a lot on the line in that game. Obviously, that –
big lead though.
Yeah,
the game wasn't like back and forth. I mean, they both had big leads, but you blew a 31-point lead, you gotta be
yeah exactly.
That's fair.
And I do think that both of the semifinal games we got this year were probably two of maybe like even the top three or four semifinals games of all time
because usually the semifinal teams just end up with
we're so used
one
to
and four is blowing each
yeah
other
Clemson
out
beating Notre Dame by 30 and Alabama beating
Cincinnati
else?
By
someone else by
Washington
30. Yeah,
another, without the another hot take is Michigan blunders at the red zone in that official whatever the ruling was with
that
okay, hear me out. I actually in real time seeing it, watching it in the replay, like I actually thought it was a good call.
Yeah, I think it was a little short.
And I don't know, when your red zone offense plays as bad as Michigan's did, you don't really deserve to win the game. I mean, that was like two trips inside the five that they didn't score. Yeah.
They tried to run a Philly special. It's like, bro, what
the play calling they had inside the five and even more specifically like inside the 3-yard line, I mean, it was just bad. And the execution was bad too.
I mean, they were not giving it – I mean, they said they had the best O-line all year and they just
didn't
run the ball.
Yeah. Completely agree there. Moving on to the third spot, I have the Cotton Bowl. Fantastic game. I mean, we're just naming great game after great game. We had Tulane beating USC by the score of 46-45. Tulane scoring at the last second to win. Huge game from Tajay Spears. And, I mean, how about Michael Pratt throwing 8 completions for 234 yards that game? Awesome game, though. Start to finish. I know Caleb Williams wasn't – I don't think he was really 100%, and I think a lot of people like to highlight that.
At least he played in the game.
Yeah, at least he played in the game. Respect to Caleb Williams for doing that. But this game definitely meant something for Tulane and that program, and arguably you could even say one of their biggest wins of all time.
I'm going to put my number three as the Michigan-TCU game. I know I kind of roasted you a little bit for putting it at four, but it deserved one spot higher.
That's right.
On the, because there were so many moments in this game where it felt like Michigan was running away with it, and then TCU started running away with it, and it was just big play after big play, pick six, 80-yard touchdowns. Was there a kick return touchdown? There was 100 point.
Yeah, it was a lot of pick sixes. I mean, pick sixes, J.J. McCarthy and had McCarthy through forever. And
then fumbles picks in the red zone. Just so many mistakes from Michigan. Michigan should have, could have won that game, but the mistakes they made led TCU to the national championship, where they ended up, you know, saying what we've been talking about all year, is that someone's going to expose them, and Georgia did more than that.
Yeah, really.
I'm going to have to agree with Caden there, go with Tulane beating USC. It was nothing. It was awesome seeing that, wasn't it? Would they drive down the field, what, like a minute 30?
It was 70 yards? It was like...
It was insane. And then
The entire fourth quarter was just insane. Like, Tulane came back from down 15 with 6 minutes left and won in regulation. Like, that alone is nuts.
I turned the TV off when I was, USC's running away.
Completing eight passes in a college football game like that.
Your sixth bowl as a non-Power 5 team.
USC's still got a bright future, but they know what they need to work on, defense. I mean, Caleb Williams coming back, you got to build up that defense. I mean, Alex Grinch, I mean, when is Lincoln Riley going to make changes with Alex Grinch as his best buddy? But I guess we'll never know.
Would you consider, this is a little off topic, but would you consider USC's season this year to be a disappointment?
No.
No, I would say it would be a success. From where they were years previous, they were 8-4. This is back to where they need to be, 11-3.
They had a losing season just a few years ago.
They had the chance to make the playoffs. Like,
I'm going
down to one game. And
if Caleb Williams didn't get injured in that Utah game, they'd probably be walking away.
I don't know. I'm not saying Utah is the better team, but in that game, Utah looked like the better team.
They came out with a different flair.
Yeah.
USC's defense couldn't take it, but I think
USC's defense, they were really weak. They were just really weak. Yeah, poor tackling. Yeah, exactly. It is just like an Oklahoma defense. That's what I'm
saying. Lincoln Riley needs to do something with Alex Grinch. I mean, part ways or something.
I don't know
if you can keep handling that. I mean, your offense is going to be have you in the game every single time, and if your defense can't get two or three stops at least.
It was rough, but I don't know. It feels hard saying it was a successful year for USC. Yeah. I don't think it was a disappointing year. They won 11 games, competed for a New Year's Six Bowl and their conference championship.
And had a Heisman winning quarterback.
Yeah, and I had a Heisman winner on their team. I don't think I wouldn't necessarily say it was like
they met their expectations.
Yeah, I would say they met their expectations, but they didn't exceed expectations necessarily. Can we agree on that? I mean, they lost three games, and they lost the big ones, too. You lose the ones that matter.
I know that Jordan Addison's gone. I don't know who they've brought in. I mean, Mario Williams is probably going to have a big year next year.
Oh, yeah, he'll have a huge year next year, I'm sure. But, yeah, moving on from our USC discussion there, I have my personal number two. Is the Fiesta Bowl, TCU, Michigan. We've already went over it a couple of times. Not much else to say. I just really value the games like that. That game just meant more. Obviously, college football semifinal. The atmosphere at that game was insane. Super back and forth. A couple of defensive touchdowns. TCU may have given up 45 points, but their defense made the clutch plays. You know, two defensive touchdowns, like I said, two stops inside the 5-yard line. You couldn't really ask for much more. Let's just say it was the best defensive performance in a game that the other team, like, that you gave up 45 points in. How about that?
100%. I mean, you can't play much better defensively, have two defensive touchdowns and still give up 45 points.
And Michigan was not putting up that many points this year, usually.
No.
And J.J. McCarthy, actually, he did really good passing the ball for the most part, besides those two interceptions.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well.
He kept them
in that game. They could have just...
Play calling was just not there.
I mean, they could have just They could have just tumbled over and fallen off and got blown out, but no, they came back. So, I mean, Jim Harbaugh staying, I mean, denied all the NFL rumors, so hopefully, I mean, they still got a bright future ahead of them. Blake Corum's coming back, isn't he?
Yeah. So, those rumors that Harbaugh faces every single year. Yeah. I'm sure one year he'll he'll take them, but as for now, he's committed to the Wolverines.
2 years in a row, they've beaten Ohio State. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's definitely, what he's building over there is he's
turned the face of Michigan football around completely.
Because, you know, I mean, I just remember growing up, really for the first however many years I watched football until the last couple of years, it was always just, you know, I always felt like the game was a little bit of an overrated rivalry because it was just Ohio State goes out and demolishes a 8-3 or a 9-2 at best Michigan team, you know?
Yeah.
What was your number two game?
We haven't gotten there yet. My number two game.
Here we go, right here. Yeah.
We've discussed it a little bit previously. I'm going with the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
I always like to talk about the non-Power 5 teams playing Power 5 schools. Like, it doesn't happen. I was telling my dad it's not going to happen. USC's just going to run away with it. You know, they're down 15 at 6 minutes left, just walked out of the room. So it was like, it's over. And then I come back, I hear, you know, it's just one of those games that you just – it feels like there's some sort of magic that happened. And Tulane had the flair in that last bit of the game. USC just – the defense crumbled under pressure the same way they did in the Pac-12 championship, same way they did to Utah earlier in the year, same way they have done in multiple games that they were able to squeeze by. It's just they got to do something about that defense. But Tulane, you know, going from where they were to being a New Year's Six Bowl winner to Tulane, them winning the New Year's Six Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, is as big as Georgia winning the Natty. Like, it's the same level.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's how it is with all the mid-major kind of schools like that.
I mean, next year we're going to be having tons of conference shakeups, so a lot of these mid-majors are going to be moving up, or these power... which is a Power 5, a lot of them moving to the
big that'll be really interesting next year.
It's gonna be even crazier when the playoff turns to 12 teams and Texas and Oklahoma and USC and UCLA change to Big Ten.
Yep, 100%.
My number two, we'll be sticking with the Liberty Bowl. I mean, anytime you have over 100 points combined and it's going at three overtimes, it's a game that must see TV. Lightning, I mean, Arkansas, man. I mean, they lose Kendall Briles, but I don't think the fans were really upset with that. So, Arkansas fans, at least, they won that game. But Kansas, man, that was another Cinderella story. Just getting to a bowl game, man, that's something that they needed. I mean, their football fans, at least, they haven't seen much. So, seeing them get to that bowl game, I mean, next year, maybe they can, especially with the team, new teams coming in the Big 12, they might be able to take advantage of that and maybe get to another bowl game next year.
Yep, 100%.
So Jalen Daniels, man, he put on a show. So, I mean, that's a quarterback in the future. I mean, especially with the NIL and tampering, that's the guy. If he goes in the transfer portal in the future,
he will be
Power
worth
5
a lot.
Teams will be on that.
Yep, definitely. And I think, do we all have the same number one?
I think we all can say.
I mean, I would even go so far as to say that this was one of the best games I've ever watched, like, in my life.
The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
Magic always happens in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Magic always happens in Georgia's
backyard.
Yeah. Always feels like that stadium has just hosted so many good games. SEC championships of upsets. Last year, Georgia, an unbeatable looking Georgia team. And then Florida, and then we had the 2020 where Bama Florida almost pulled it off. Magic happens at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I mean, Ohio State fans are really going to be questioning that.
This is a loss that, like, Ohio State fans, like, they'll never forget it. I mean, ever.
I mean, they were about 100 feet away from making it to the...
As they were questioning Ryan Day's decision-making towards the end, choosing to run the ball instead of passing it late, because the pass was so effective on that Georgia defense. But
Georgia's defense really did. Their secondary got torched that game. I mean, really, the whole defense.
Marvin Harrison injury was brutal.
It was crucial, I agree 100%.
At least he'll be back next year.
And then on the opposite side of that, obviously, Georgia, the touchdown to Mitchell with, like, a minute left or a little bit less, I think.
Hey, that's another guy. He played good in the playoffs, and he's headed to Texas. So, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. That's huge for them, too. Texas is a really, really good team to watch out for next year, especially with Ewers under center.
Climbing up the ranks. That's another team we were talking about before the show, seeing all these schools like Tennessee, USC, and Texas that have kind of struggled recently showing out again. And looking to be
Even like Michigan
and too. Michigan, you know, even Penn Michigan. State's back there.
Yeah, I mean that's Florida what State. You want for college football. I mean, Florida State, man, they're going to be coming back. I mean, all these teams are getting good. I mean, Oklahoma, we need Oklahoma to get back good, but before they get in the SEC. But man, it's good. It's refreshing to see more teams getting good, getting back to where.
I don't know if they need to get good before they get in the SEC. I wouldn't say that, but.
Well, then you get a lot better.
Yeah.
But what would you guys think? This is a good topic here. Ryan Day, what do you guys think about him so far in his coaching tenure? Because he has, I don't mean, has he beaten Michigan as a head coach? I don't think he has.
I'm pretty sure he's 0-2, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, Ohio State fans, when do you, I mean, is there a hot seat for that? I mean, I know he's getting to the playoffs, but, man. He can't beat Michigan.
Yeah, he's either 0-2 or 1-2.
It's either one of those two.
Because they played during the COVID year.
Yeah,
they did play during the COVID.
So 1-2.
Yeah.
Doesn't Ohio with the COVID year? Ohio State made it to the.
I want to say the Big Ten. The Big Ten only played like 6 regular season games during the COVID year.
That's why it was so, you know.
Weird. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess 1-2, but I guess he's taking over play calling. He gave away play calling, right? So I guess he's not calling plays anymore. So I mean,
when you make it to the national championship in the semifinal game and you're a kick away from making it back to the national championship.
Yeah, but he struggled in those big games. That's what I guess Ohio State fans, I wouldn't put him in anywhere near the hot seat, but.
Nah, in
Ohio State fans' mind, though.
Yeah, he might be on Ohio State fans'
mind. He's maybe how we thought of Bill O'Brien.
If they wouldn't have made the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Yeah, like I think
take another two L's in Michigan, then that's 4 years in a row. That's a whole.
Yeah, if they're still making it to the playoffs, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Once the 12 team comes around, they won't really have to worry about that.
But you know, when you're at a school like Ohio State, like you're expected to win the big games. Like they can only handle losing so many big games like that in a row. Yeah, you know, especially that fan base. That's a fan base that's, you know, pretty close to Alabama in terms of, like I said, being a little bit on the spoiled side. Yeah.
Where would you guys say that receiving core ranks?
Man, I mean, it's really good. Yeah. But I think they get hurt a little bit from JSN not really playing this year.
I don't know. Did he declare for the draft? Or did he?
Yeah, JSN. Yeah, he's gone. He's wide receiver two, probably.
Yeah, because Marvin Harrison had such a, you know, breakout year.
Yeah, that NFL draft coming up, there's a lot of people departing.
Yeah, really.
And the transfer portal, man, you can have a whole hour talks about that transfer portal.
Yeah, geez. I mean, especially with how much it's grown and how big it's gotten. But getting back on track here, we have our top individual performances of the bowl season. We'll go through a few. I think we each all will have two or three of these. I'll go ahead and start with one of mine. We've already talked about him a little bit, and we've talked about this game multiple times, but I really thought that Jalen Daniels had an insane game for Kansas against Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl. Just couldn't quite complete the comeback, and some of that is on coaching. The two-point conversion play that they ran with a backup quarterback, ridiculous. A reverse with the backup quarterback.
Put it in your best player's hands.
You put the ball in your best player's hands.
Man, he got you there.
Jalen Daniels was 37 for 55, 544 yards, 5 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. You can't get a better game than that, and I cannot believe from a coaching perspective that's not the guy that you want to have under control when you have one chance left.
When you get down 38-13 and you have two turnovers, two interceptions, and you still only lose by 2 points in triple overtime, man, that's phenomenal performance by that. Especially their offense was just, that was as like shootout as you get. I mean, you want that in bowl games. You want excitement. You want must-see TV, especially for bowl games that are not New Year's Six or the playoffs. You want something excitement.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
All right, so For this one, as much as I hate to praise Georgia players, I got to go Javon Bullard. Two picks in the national championship. There's so many players you could say had an outstanding performance for Georgia in that national championship. Stetson Bennett, you know. I mean, it's just the list goes on. I mean, that might have been the biggest embarrassing blowout in college football history when you lose by like that in the national championship. But two interceptions in the national championship, regardless of how the other team compared to yours, is something that's worth getting talked about on fourth and goal.
Yeah, I'm a stick with Jalen Daniels, man. That performance, he's gonna be one player to look out for next year that's going to bring excitement to the Big 12. I mean, brought excitement back to Kansas football, man. Getting a college game day game to there, I mean, that just proves how much he brought Kansas back, especially, I don't think he got Coach of the Year, but, man, Lance Leipold should be definitely up there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody in the country would have predicted going into the year that Kansas would have game day there.
Would have game day there, or would be, I mean, I know they were off to that 6-0 start, and that was the only games they'll end up winning, but just making it there and making it to a bowl game is something that hasn't happened in years for them. That's just something happy they can look forward to.
And bright future ahead as well. So. Yeah.
Especially with the transfer portal, you can get better one night.
Having one good year like that, it works miracles on how you can recruit.
With Texas and Oklahoma departing that Big 12, I mean, they can definitely have some chances there.
My next that I have on my performances, not really an individual performance, but a group of individuals. I have Georgia's national championship defense. Just to go over how crazy of a defensive game they had in the national championship against TCU. Of course, you know, only giving up 7 points to one of the most electric offenses in the country. This Georgia team only gave up 7 plays in their territory against TCU. They had 5 sacks as a team, 9 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble with the fumble recovery as well. Absolutely insane. I don't think I've seen as good of a defensive performance in the national championship since maybe 2011 Alabama against LSU. Yeah. That's the one that rivals this. I mean, it was just dominant. And I kind of remember that game being the same way. LSU never they didn't make it across 50 until like late in the fourth, junk time. And that's kind of how it felt in this game. You know, TCU scored that one touchdown to cut it to 10-7. And after that, oh man, I wish I would have looked at how many first downs they had because it was not a lot at all. That's for sure.
I didn't get to watch this game, but I was taken off on the plane to come back here, and I took off and it was 10-7. I landed. It was 58-7.
Whoa!
On a 2.5 hour flight. So over the course of 2.5 hours, I mean, the dude in front of me pulled up his phone, and I was just like. I was just amazed. I just would have never assumed after the performance that TCU had that they would have lost that badly to Georgia.
Well, especially after they scored that touchdown to cut it to 3. I mean, I thought, I was like, okay, they've settled in a little bit. Because I knew Duggan and TCU just in general would be a little nervous just because, you know, it's TCU. They're not really used to being there. They hadn't been there before. And then, because even on the touchdown drive, though, Duggan missed it. It was a bad throw to Quentin Johnson, right? He was wide open, and he underthrew him by a lot. Luckily, Quentin Johnson was so wide open that he was able to make the play still. But after they got into the end zone, I was thinking, okay, you know what? They're going to settle down. TCU's going to make this game. Still think Georgia will win, but surely they won't win by any more than 10-14. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, a worst nightmare for TCU fans that starts raining in SoFi and it starts raining in on their section.
So. Oh, yeah. That was miserable. They were sitting watching their team get destroyed by the Southland.
What better weather, though, to watch your team get destroyed in than just being just getting
under
poured
the
LA on.
Bright lights in the rain.
That's a sad night. Yeah.
That doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah, that's just a tough time for TCU.
Yeah.
I hate that, like, a season of this caliber, one of the best Cinderella stories in college football history, is going to get a little bit overshadowed just because of probably the worst performance in national championship history. I mean, really, like, but yeah, still props to TCU, though. Great, great all-around season. And yeah, that's about as bright of a future as you can get. That season, like I said, having a good season can work miracles. Well, that's going to do like more than work miracles. They've already capitalized off that season as far as recruiting in the transfer portal.
Already taken two former Alabama players.
Exactly. And and good Alabama players at that. JoJo Earl will be very good for TCU next year.
Yeah.
I mean, mine is another – it's not just a unit, not a defense or – offense. It's gonna be a whole team as a whole. It's gonna be Mississippi State Bulldogs going out there and winning.
I respect that.
Especially for the passing of Mike Leach, man. RIP. Thank you. You transformed the football game, and we'll miss you on the sidelines and all the quotes in the press conferences. We'll miss you tremendously. But going out there and winning that game meant so much for that program, man, and all those fans. And it was just so nice to see. I mean, every SEC fan, every college football fan besides Illinois fans are probably rooting for that to happen. I'm just glad that they were able to end that season off in a victory.
Yeah.
Especially that scoring at the very end was very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a...
covering the spread.
Yeah, I was about to say, the some people are going to disagree with you there, Nick, that spread was, what was it, 3.5, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and they scored on the lateral off of... that's like messed up lateral.
That makes it even sweeter for most people.
That's hilarious. I mean, that's got to be, is that the biggest bad beat of all time?
Yeah, it might have
to
be.
The number one bad beat of bowl season, if we were to talk about that, I think we would all, it would be unanimous. Had to have been.
Just fantastic, though, to see, see them win that game, though, with that magnitude.
Exactly. And then this one's a little, maybe a little slept on, overshadowed by some of the performances we saw in the big games. But honestly, could be my number one bowl performance is Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Miss broke the single-game bowl season rushing record with 21 carries for 329 yards on the ground. Absolutely insane. Carried this offense, had two rushing touchdowns, and threw for a touchdown as well for Southern Miss. He's been doing it all for Southern Miss his last couple of years. And, I mean, you literally cannot ask for a better performance from a running back in that situation. Hats off to Frank Gore Jr.
And representing the family good right there.
Exactly, representing the family good.
So, my number two, I'm going to have to go with Jalen Daniels. 544 pass yards, 5 touchdowns. I mean, you can't – if you, that's like you're playing Madden on rookie at that point. You're going up against the Houston Texans on rookie on 10-minute quarters and just throwing Hail Marys. Yeah. And, I mean, you can't ask, you know, Kansas maybe, you know, didn't look very good at the beginning, but Daniels just, he flipped the switch at the end of the game, and so did the entire team. And it, yeah.
Yeah. Mine will be, I have an honorable mention because I've mentioned Mississippi State, but it'll be Austin Reed throwing for 497 yards.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
In Western Kentucky, I mean, that's a team right there. You do not want to see if you're a Power 5 team, no matter what. Their air raid offense is just insane. What they've been able to do, Bailey Zappe, now Austin Reed. I mean, Austin Reed's going to be a quarterback to watch out for next year. Definitely, no matter if he's even playing in the CUSA conference. So, hats off to Western Kentucky. I mean, obliterating South Alabama. South Alabama had a good season, so hats off to Western Kentucky for that.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to watch Reed play in person when they played at Auburn really late in the year. And, you know, that Western Kentucky team kept up with Auburn for the first half. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good game for the first half. So,
yeah.
I think we got your number one left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I gave mine already.
That was
so
my honorable mention.
Oh, okay. So you still have your number one.
Yeah, my number one's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, even though he got hurt, man, 5 receptions, over 100 yards on that Georgia defense, 2 touchdowns. Him and CJ Stroud just had that connection, man. Whoever the quarterback is, I don't even know who the quarterback is next year in that Ohio State quarterback room, but whoever that is, they're going to have to build that chemistry fast with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be hard because he's everywhere and he catches everything. So not much better you can ask for about a receiver. So
just huck it up there and he'll
yeah,
find the
he'll
ball.
He'll find the ball. That's what you call a ball hawk right there.
100%. So since this is a Alabama podcast, I gotta go close to home. My number one, Bryce Young, coming back, not playing.
I love it.
100% healthy for most of the year, and throwing 5 touchdowns pass, proving the point, proving all the haters that Alabama was a fluke team. There's no, we should have been there. We beat the team that beat TCU, handily by more than two possessions. We talked about that after, or maybe we didn't even get a chance to talk about the postseason rankings, Alabama not making it in. I'm sure initial, all of our reactions were, how are we not in this? We're so much better than TCU. We're so much better than Ohio State. 22-point loss. We proved our point to the committee, and I think that Bryce, you know, proved his point. I mean, he was already guaranteed to be the number one pick. I mean, now the Bears have it, you know, it'll be different. But he's still projected to be the number one pick. And
number one quarterback taken
number
off.
One quarterback. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. And you can't cap it off better than the way he did.
Yeah, respect to Bryce Young. He'll always go. He'll go down as, I mean,
the top quarterback in Alabama.
Yeah, I think he's the most talented quarterback in Alabama history.
And he has the Heisman Trophy to prove it.
Yep, exactly, 100%. Moving on, another recap that we have, kind of steering away from bowl mania a little bit. We have the awards. So, as you know, we went on a little bit of a hiatus, so we haven't gotten to cover the awards either. So we're going to go ahead and get into these. First up, we have Caleb Williams winning the Heisman. Was it deserved?
Yes.
Yep. But I think that if TCU had won the game against Kansas State, there would be a lot more of a debate. Max Duggan coming back, bleeding all over the field.
No, they not. Would he somehow running the...
Running out of breath, collapsing in the end zone.
Yeah, he had like 90 rushing yards on that one drive.
Like, I feel like Max Duggan is like probably wins the character award for me, because I don't really love Caleb Williams as a person. I respect him as an athlete. Obviously, he's great, one of the best athletes. But I think that there's some work in his character. I feel like Max Duggan has a character. You wouldn't see Caleb Williams bleeding all over the field. I mean, you don't see anyone do that. And Max Duggan did it, but
just see the I think it's just
the nail, yeah, the nail polish. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's not a fan of Utah, Caleb Williams.
But Caleb Williams proven just the point of you can transfer portal and you can make that impact right away.
100%,
especially when you go to the Pac-12.
He definitely made a huge name for himself in LA and all over the place.
And Lincoln Riley proving that he can win wherever. The Heisman wherever. With whoever at any conference.
Yep. 100%. Moving on to the Davey O'Brien Award, it's awarded to the best quarterback in the country. Braden's going to be happy with this one. It was Max Duggan.
Yep. I think this was well deserved. The guy who none of us would have expected.
He was even the starter
week one.
Yeah.
Comes in out of nowhere and just, I mean, he's just like the whole year we were just talking about TCU's going to fall. They're going to lose to Texas. They're going to lose to Oklahoma State. They're going to lose to Texas Tech. They're going to lose to Baylor. We thought their time was come. They kick a crazy quick snap field goal against Baylor, crazy injuries. I mean, it's maybe a little bit of luck on Duggan's side, but, yeah, you can't mark away anything from him. He had an unbelievable season.
We'll see where it takes him in the future. I don't know if he had the best of Senior Bowls, but, man, all you need is one chance in the NFL.
Yeah.
And hopefully Max Duggan gets that chance, just as he did this year. All he needed was one chance at TCU, and he made the best of it. So hopefully he gets that chance in the future. But hats off to him right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, while he might not have been the best quarterback in college football, great kid, great program, great Cinderella story. I mean, I definitely think he deserved it. Moving on to the Chuck Bednarik Award, best defensive player in the country, our very own Will Anderson Jr.
I don't think there's any debate.
Yeah, there's no debate. None of us are going to debate it with each other.
Back-to-back defensive player of the year.
Look, he didn't put the stats up, but, man, he was getting double-teamed every game. He was getting those QB rush.
Nobody.
He got schemed for every team they played.
Every game. Yeah. I mean, his numbers last year, you could probably won the best.
I mean, he could have won the Heisman Trophy last year.
Last year, I mean, like his odds to win the Heisman were like not bad going into this season.
Yeah,
he could have been.
He had a pick six. I mean,
oh yeah, I remember that. He did have a pick six.
Yeah, against Louisiana Monroe.
The beginning of the year, it looked very good for Will, and then it kind of slowed down. Penalties of him getting double teamed, and it's just kind of, you know. Didn't really come together for him, but it's just because he's so good that, I mean.
That's a guy you want on your NFL team, though.
100%.
He's going to be top 5 pick.
Future Chicago Bear, right potentially.
He's going to be a star.
Great person.
In the NFL.
great person, yeah. Even better football player. I mean, there's not much you can ask for right there.
100%. One of the best defensive players that I have ever watched at the college level, yeah, for sure.
Debatably the best defensive lineman ever in college football.
Yeah. Moving on to the Doak Walker. This one might spawn a little bit more of a debate. This was for the best running back in the country. It went to Texas's Bijan Robinson. He won it over Chase Brown from Illinois and Blake Corum from Michigan. I'll let y'all go first.
No debate for me. Bijan is the most talented running back going into the draft that got an award. He didn't get maybe the same spotlight that Blake Corum did playing for a top four team. But Bijan Robinson just seemed the heart and soul of the Texas offense. He's just character is really good. He runs all over the place. He can catch passes. He can rush yards. You know, he's kind of just like a dual threat running back, and that's he's going to be great in the NFL.
You're great, prototypical all around running back team, like Alvin Kamara. That's who I would compare him to. He's great. But Blake Corum, that Michigan team, where would they be without Blake Corum? That's the real question. That best running back in the nation. He had easily the best numbers. Probably had way more carries than Bijan, but Bijan had the highlight reels, had the probably better receiving numbers.
Oh, definitely better receiving numbers.
Better did it all numbers. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Blake Corum was the reason for that Michigan success.
Yeah, I think Nick said it perfectly. I'll give Bijan his flowers. I think Bijan's great, and I think that Bijan is the most talented running back in this upcoming draft, and I think he's the most NFL-ready running back in this draft. But as for Blake Corum, I mean, that was Michigan's offense. I mean, for the entirety of the year until the Ohio State game. That's Michigan's offense. I personally would have given it to Blake Corum. Had a fantastic year. Was on one of the best teams in the country.
Chase Brown, hats off to him.
Another person with a great year. Chase Brown was in Heisman talks late in the year, you know. You just don't see that in running backs too often. But moving on to the Biletnikoff, another one that could have a little bit of a debate. This is given to the best wide receiver in the country. It went to Tennessee's Jalin Hyatt. Now, here at Alabama, we know a lot about Jalin Hyatt because we got to see a lot of him in the end zone. He likes to end up in there. Yeah, he likes to score touchdowns.
He likes to end up in the checkerboard.
Yeah, he does.
You can't argue with the numbers, with all the touchdowns. Look, I would give him that award. Man, Marvin Harrison Jr. put up insane stats. But he was surrounded by all of those talents. I mean, Hyatt had Brew McCoy and Cedric Tillman, but both of those guys were hurt. So, I mean, mainly a Hyatt show. And, I mean, Hyatt balled out, but...
And Hyatt had that just insane game versus Alabama. Yep. I mean, I think just that game alone was probably the deciding factor between him and Marvin Harrison.
When you score that many touchdowns. That
especially against Alabama. Means, I mean, you're going to get the media attention boost of playing against Alabama as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to the clutch moments, he was there.
Yeah, I think that...
vertical deep threat in the NFL. It's just, I don't know if he'll be...
Maybe a little bit of work on the route running.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be... he's definitely not receiver one, as you see. He's definitely probably like a second or third round talent, but... Man, hats off to him. Great season.
I could see mid to late first at best for Hyatt if he develops. Gets a little bit better.
Number. Yeah, if he has that 40, I agree. If he has that 40 time, then
100%. I don't know. I do think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a better all around wide receiver than Jalin Hyatt, but numbers don't lie. Yeah, Jalin Hyatt was fantastic this year. That Tennessee offense was electric this year. And yeah, hats off to him. I think that he deserved it. John Mackey Award, best tight end in the country. Shouldn't have any debate here. No. Brock Bowers won it, and he deserved it. Brock Bowers is one of the best college tight ends I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, can't say anything else more than that.
You know,
he does it all.
He does everything. He blocks, he passes. The only person that even comes maybe even relatively close to that decision is Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just a different level. Brock Bowers.
Bowers is just an athlete. I mean, he's the speed of a wide receiver and the strength of a tight end, like a normal tight end. Yeah,
like strength of
Travis Kelce.
O lineman.
Yeah. Go like George Kittle. Let's go like George Kittle.
Let's go Kelce.
George Kittle strength with like Taysom Hill speed almost.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's.
I don't know if it's that good.
Dude, he's electric. Yeah.
you want him on your NFL team.
Exactly. Yeah. He'll be a highly tight end out prospect. Yeah. I've thought about it a lot. The only college tight end that I can remember really thinking, wow, like this tight end is like a straight up just game changer, is Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts. Yeah,
Pitts in college.
He hasn't really. He's still got so much time to develop in the NFL.
And yeah, he does.
I mean, he's been stuck with mediocre
program. They have Mariota throwing like 15 passes a game.
Ritter.
Yeah, he's got to. He's got to go somewhere.
I think. Yeah, with Pitts going to 8, I think Brock Bowers could easily get a top 5. Somewhere.
Oh, 100% for sure.
Yeah.
Getting back onto the awards, we have our Home Depot Coach of the Year, Sonny Dykes, and the Assistant Coach of the Year, Garrett Riley, both from TCU. Garrett Riley now at Clemson, which is huge for them.
We'll get into that in a future episode.
Yeah, but I think both of them deserved it. I mean, that was the best coordinator of the year, and that was the best coach of the year.
I mean, TCU just coming out of nowhere, Cinderella story, silencing all the haters until 2023.
Yep.
And
there's definitely some honorable mention coaches that Lance Leipold, definitely Josh Heupel deserves his praise. I mean, there's Shane Beamer. So he did a great great coaching year for him.
Yeah, especially I would say that the only one that's close is Heupel, and you know, had they not had that loss to South Carolina, he probably would have won it.
I mean,
what's Tulane coach's name?
I forgot his name.
Yeah, like, exposing us a little bit, dude.
I mean, I would also give it to Brian Kelly, man. Brian Kelly lost so
Brian
much
Kelly,
in the portal,
yeah.
man.
Brian
he,
Kelly did
he really
have
that.
Quite the year, but I don't. I mean, you just
Willie Fritz is the head coach of Tulane.
When you make it as far as TCU,
I don't say it's any close, but those are just some honorable mentions. We'll mention.
Yeah, you always got to honor them.
Yeah.
For sure. We're running out of time here a little bit, but we are going to do one last segment, and we're going to do our final top 10 teams of the year post-playoffs. Now, this isn't where we think they should be ranked. This is who we think are the best teams. So if all of these teams played each other on a neutral field at the end of the year, this is our list from best to worst. You guys want to do it how we did the other one earlier, start bottom to top, 10 to 1?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think we all know who one is, and we might all have the same two.
Unanimous Georgia, probably.
Yeah, we can go ahead and get that out of the way. Yeah, one and two, Georgia and Ohio State. Do we all agree?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
If we're saying on a neutral site, neutral field.
Yep, and it was all proven.
Yeah, Georgia, Ohio State. With the end of the year team or peak season? Yep. Peak season or end of year team?
End of the year. End of the year.
Alabama 3.
Yeah.
I'll have Alabama 4. If we're going end of the year, I'll have Alabama 4. I'll keep TCU at 3.
Yeah, I have.
They got to the big
Alabama games. 3, TCU 4.
Yeah.
I just think if Alabama had played any other team than Kansas State in their bowl game, then I probably would have had TCU. But just seeing a team, like the last team that TCU played was Kansas State,
and then we
beat them by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll give TCU the love, and they haven't gotten it from us.
Yeah, they haven't, but they're still getting the top 4.
Yeah, this show, I feel like we've been pretty steady
on being hard on TCU.
Hey,
if you lose 65-7 to Georgia, we're going to be hard on you.
Yeah, see, and that's what I hate for TCU fans. They can have that great of a year with that many doubters and haters, and then – like now all those doubters and haters will have the rest of eternity to just sit on. Yeah. It's like, what was the quote? Oh man, who said it? I think it was like Skip Bayless. He was like, I was wrong about being wrong. We were wrong about being wrong about TCU.
Yeah.
That's how we felt after the national championship, at least. Just joking. I mean, they're obviously a great team.
Yeah,
great fantastic team. Season.
Number 4, definitely, yeah.
5, I would say Tennessee.
I had Michigan at my number 5.
That's also, Michigan.
I'm also I'm sticking Michigan in 5 spot.
I'll keep Michigan in 5 spot. Tennessee.
I do think that Michigan is not near as good as we thought about. And I talked to Braden about this a little bit before the show. I really did think that Ohio State was a better team than Michigan. Or not, sorry. Michigan was a better team than Ohio State. And I think that I thought that that game wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
And then after the playoffs, it was kind of like, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't really say. I mean, they were obviously better than TCU on the field. They just made mistakes of the mistakes you cannot have in crucial games like that. Especially
and Michigan had better coaching in the game, the big game, Ohio State.
Yeah, 100%.
And then at number six, I have Tennessee, a team with probably a lot higher hopes than how they ended up at the end of the year, but still a great win in the Orange Bowl. Joe Milton looks great. Yeah, he'll be great next year. Jalen Hyatt, obviously. I do think that Tennessee with Hendon Hooker might be a better team than Michigan. It's really close.
Oh, definitely.
But
I mean,
I do think Tennessee with Hendon Hooker is probably the third best team in the country, or third or fourth. You could really make the case for second. We need to save this for another episode, but yeah, for sure, definitely Tennessee could. You could at most say number two in the country. So, number seven for me. So we all have Tennessee at six, right? Number seven for me, I have Penn State. Great Rose Bowl win.
Yep.
You know, this is a team that won 11 games, and their only two losses are Michigan and Ohio State. I don't think they played the best competition all year, but a great win against Utah. That was probably the best they played all year.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Penn State. Clifford playing good, man.
Yeah, Penn State definitely deserves that number seven spot. Rose Bowl win. Really, the two losses to playoff teams.
Yeah.
They're not in the same level as Michigan and Ohio State. They're almost there, but they aren't yet.
They'll have to replace Clifford. Well, that'll be an interesting direction to see where James Franklin and company go next year.
Yeah,
that'll
definitely.
Be a team to look out for.
For sure. Number eight, we're going with the group of five champions of the year. I have the 12-2 Tulane Green Wave at number eight. This team is legit. Like, they were a legitimate team. They are seriously... one of the best teams in the country this year, and I think they proved that beating USC, a team that was competing for a playoff spot going into the championship weekend.
And some NFL talent too. Tajay Spears, man.
Yeah, Tajay Spears is the truth. He's for real. That's definitely an honorable mention. He had 200 yards and four touchdowns on the ground in his bowl game. He's honorable mention for one of the best performances. I mean, really did have one of the best performances of bowl season. So great season for Tulane. Awesome turnaround compared to last year. And yeah, I think they easily deserve to be a top 10 team in the country, and they finished number nine in the AP poll.
Yeah, I would keep the next team. I think we can all agree on this is Utah.
I went Washington at nine.
Washington. I didn't get to say Tulane at eight, but yeah, Tulane at eight. Washington. I think Washington. Utah with four losses though.
They won the Pac-12 though.
They did, but Washington. But I don't know. Washington was 11-2 and got the win against Texas.
Cam Rising got hurt in the bowl game, so he was here at the end of the year.
Even with Cam Rising, I'm taking Washington.
Did Utah play a lot?
I don't think so. I highly doubt it. Because
Penix, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Washington, they kind of like snuck their way through our radar the whole year.
And they should be solid next year, too. I mean, they're going to be good next year. Players. Penix will be one of the better quarterbacks in the country next year. One of the best, even.
He could be a Heisman contender for sure.
Isn't Cam Rising coming back, too?
He is.
Yeah, that injury definitely.
It's going to be an awesome year in the Pac-12 next year.
It's going to be definitely a messy
year. And then at the number 10 spot, I have Utah. I think we all... Either have
there.
Yeah, and then Nick would have Washington there. Oh, whoa. Braden, hot take incoming. He's going to have Florida State or LSU?
Florida State.
Yeah, there it is.
Florida State.
I was on the fence about that. I was close between – I think I even typed down Florida State in my notes first and then undid it and put Utah there. But.
I think Utah, they had such a good season. But it's just the four losses in the Pac-12. Yeah, Florida State played in the ACC, but when you look – when they play each other, I mean, maybe I feel like Florida State's more of a balanced team, and Utah just has such a good offense. I don't know, Utah, you know, their defense is all right, but I feel like they're so offense heavy, and that they could easily slip up on a neutral site against Florida State. And I just don't want to be boring through in Florida State from what they're 11 on the AP poll. Move them up one more. Why not?
Look. That'll be an honorable mention right there, just outside our top 10 being Florida State. And
I mean LSU's my honorable
job. Job Mike Norvell's done, man. That's incredible. He was already on the hot. That was like his hot seat year was this year because they were.
Yeah, this was his prove it deal for sure, prove it year. Sorry, for sure.
He's definitely proving it. I mean, he's got the right quarterback coming back next year. Got Jordan Travis coming back. I mean, they got a lot of their pieces coming back too. So I mean,
they should be.
I mean, who knows with Clemson? I mean. Clemson, Garrett Riley, can they turn that around? We'll talk about that one of our next episodes. But
yeah, college football playoff talks for Florida State next year.
Yeah.
You know, if they make it out of that ACC. But yeah, great episode, guys. this was our kind of, you know, comeback episode. Like I said, we took a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back now, and we're not 100% sure, but we'll either be doing episodes once per week or once every other week. So that being said, great episode today, guys. I'm Caden Johnson.
I'm Braden Friedman.
And I'm Nicholas Elliott.
And this is the 4th and Goal Podcast, signing off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.